It's time to get wild with SC Wild. Everything hunting and fishing from the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources and your host, Phil Kornblut. SC Wild on Sports Talk on the South Carolina Radio Network.
It is time for another edition of SC Wild, starring the captain, Billy Downer. You won't mind if I mention one quick little recruiting thing that's very important.
As long as it's not against the Citadel, go ahead.
It is not against the Citadel. This was just brought to my attention by the pro. USC women did get a commitment today from 6'1 Victoria Saxton out of Rome, Georgia. She is considered a five-star player. She's considered to be a very, very good big-time player by those who rate women's basketball players. So 6'1 Victoria Saxton, this is being reported by a basketball website. That South Carolina has picked up a Swish Appeal is the name of the website, and it says South Carolina has gotten a commitment from her. All right, thank you, Captain. I know you're into women's sports because you have a daughter who was a very good athlete in high school.
Yes.
Softball,
yes.
Volleyball, right?
Yep.
So you're into what the young ladies
Absolutely.
Are doing, and
Absolutely.
That's important. It's good to have you with us, and we've got a lot to talk about tonight. And I got two things I want to bring up real quick before we get to the topics of the day. Number one, saw a story about bear hunting in the upstate, and that the upstate has been overrun with bears. And this one hunter took a bear of like 530 some odd pounds. I think it was in Pickens County. Did you see that?
I did not, but that does not surprise me. Pickens County is one of the mountain hunt areas, and they do have some large bear. 500 pound bear is a nice size bear, no doubt about it. And absolutely there are those size animals out there. So I have not heard specifically about that, but I'll check on it.
Yeah. Now, are we having an issue up there with the number?
No. Again, that's the area traditionally where bears have always been in the mountain region. Mm-hmm. They're traditionally in the mountains. The areas where it's surprising is down in Williamsburg County, Marion County, onto the coast, Georgetown, Horry County, where we are in some areas, it seems like overrun with bear. Not overrun, but just a lot of bear. You don't expect to see bears there. So if you see a bear, it seems like you're being overrun.
Yeah.
The mountains are where you expect to see them. There are areas certainly up there as we move to the mountains. We'll have mountain houses where they see bears more than they used to. Again, that's normal.
If you're driving up a mountain road in Pickens County or up that way, say up US 25.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
And a bear crosses in front of you. You've
sure.
got time to stop. But he doesn't continue across the road. Maybe he turns and looks at you in your car, maybe starts coming towards you.
Don't make this into a grizzly incident. Here we go.
No, I'm just asking a question.
Already victimizing the bear, making him the evil guy.
Well, no. would he come at, would a black bear come at you?
No, they're going to run. They're, okay. Black bear are exactly like a white-tailed deer. They run. Their first instinct is to run.
Okay.
So they,
it's not a grizzly situation, Corn.
No, it's not a grizzly bear. It comes attacking, snarling, all those
foaming
things.
At the mouth.
The bear is more afraid of you than you are of it.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
You really think so?
Absolutely.
All right, my second question is, I'm sure you're familiar with this. Off the coast down, I think in the Beaufort area, they tagged a tiger shark.
A tiger shark, 12 foot long.
Tell me about that. And she's pregnant?
I can't remember.
No, it said she's pregnant.
She might be.
Yeah.
Might be. That's not unusual.
Yeah. So
tiger shark, remember we had a segment, we talked about that during Shark Week. We talked about the tagging that we've been doing in South Carolina. Tigers are the main species of shark we've been tagging, along with a lot of other smaller species, let alone species, but as well as the great whites. Everybody wants to know about the great white.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that big 20-footer off South Carolina they've got tagged? But again, this is a satellite tracking system, so they can actually go see where this tiger's at. But pretty nice size tiger. I think she weighed 900 pounds.
Yeah. And the story said, like, she could give birth to, like, 60 little baby sharks.
Possibly.
That's just great.
Normal.
Just great.
That's part of life. It's part of nature.
Circle of life, Corn.
The circle of life.
There let's get to some freshwater stuff.
Speaking
what's
of
happening
fishing,
out there in the
let's
fresh
talk about
water?
For a minute,
yeah. There's no sharks in fresh water, right?
There's not. No, not well.
Huh?
Actually, the bull shark
can
survive in fresh water and does come
right.
in on the Santee River Basin.
Yeah.
And yes, Edister River as well. So.
Okay, I'm sorry I brought it up.
Yeah, you don't want to
but the bull shark, like the black bear, is more afraid of you than you are of it.
I don't think so.
So much.
I think you should have stuck with the bear.
There you go.
Go ahead. Go ahead,
right,
Captain.
So my report from Clark's Hill, Lake Greenwood, crappie are off the chart. Said they are catching limits of crappie. Of course, the limit is 8 inches for a minimum size limit, and catch limit is 20. Fishermen are having great luck using jigs on a spider rig. Spider rigs where you lay all those rods out in the front of the boat. Basically looks like a big spider. They're using a slow troll. Tipping is also popular. Tipping is where you take the jig and actually hook a minnow on the edge on the jig hook for an extra attractant, for a little shine, a little flash, a little live bait action there. Also, stripers and hybrids are still strong on live bait, blueback herring on Clark's Hill and Lake Murray. And that's our freshwater report for today, mostly in the Midlands and upstate area. Saltwater fishing report. Speckled trout bite slowed a bit. It was on fire the last couple of weeks. Slowed down with the warm weather. Charleston area, First Sergeant Greg Gardner, my buddy there, has been giving me some updates there. He expects the bite to pick up this weekend as this cold front comes in. You know, we're looking at temperatures in the upper 30s again come Saturday, Sunday. As that colder weather comes in, the trout bite will pick up. Redfish continues to be good. Spot-tail bass continues to be well. Good bite there. Flounder gigging is also good this time of year. Very fat fish, you know, good sized fish. Remember, gigging closes for trout and redfish from December through February. So this month's the last month for a while you could gig trout and redfish. Sheephead still good on the jetties, near shore reefs where weather permits. Shrimp baiting season closed yesterday.
That's
at noon.
A disappointment to a lot of people.
Yeah, and it wasn't. And speaking of shrimp season, it wasn't as good a season for a lot of people. It seemed to be spotty at best. They said smaller shrimp when they did catch them. Just depends year in, year out. We had a hurricane, a lot of rain. Rain messes up saltwater for shrimp. So I've heard a little bit about that. The red snapper, we had a mini season. Red snapper's been closed for a while now. Could not catch a red snapper offshore. It was illegal to possess one. We had a mini season open this past Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Talked to one of my church members that did that this past Sunday, did well. They all caught their one. You can catch one during this mini season. There's no minimum size. They also caught some nice vermilion snapper and grouper in 90 to 120 feet of water off the coast of South Carolina. There's one more mini season for red snapper coming up this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But Lieutenant Angus McBragg told me, tell mariners beware northeaster this weekend. Northeaster means it's coming off the coast in, which is horrible for big waves, very rough,
windy, choppy,
chilly. Very bad. Yes. You're going to have high waves. So be careful, pay close attention to wind and sea conditions. If you decide to go out, make sure to watch the forecast. And if you decide to go, fill a float plan out. Remember, your float plan tells people where you're going, exactly where you're going, where you're leaving from, and when you plan to return, so that folks know when you should be back in case there's a problem.
Not too dissimilar to the hunt plan that you talked about last
time. Your hunt your plan your fishing trip, fish your plan. Don't vary from it. Let people know where you're going, particularly in rough weather like this. If it's going to be rough, or is there opportunity for bad weather offshore in the saltwater environment, particularly when you're going off several miles off, you want to let people know where you're going, where you put in from, so if there's a problem, they know where to find you.
This is SC Wild on Sports Talk. If you have a question for the captain, you can give us a call, 800-956-7266. You can also reach us on Twitter, at Sports Talk SC. Quick comment or question there. We'll be happy to address and pass it on to the captain. Email us as well, comment or question at SportsTalkSC. Is how you can talk back at sportstalksc.com. Talk back at sportstalksc.com. Coming up in our second segment, we'll talk some deer hunting, deer scoring, and things of that that nature. But sticking with the fishing, so as the weather turns on us here and we start to get chillier, how much does the fishing activity by fishermen decline? Do you see a great drop off? Is it like, okay, our season's over, we'll just wait till the spring? Or do you find people hardy enough to want to get out there and fight the elements and go after the fish that
That's
are still
a great
out there?
Question. The type of fish people go after changes in the colder weather. This time of year, when it gets colder, stripers start schooling in October, November, people are going after stripers. So they go out there in the cold weather, despite the cold weather. Crappy fishing picks up this time of year. People go out, turn of the year, January, February, people are going after white bass where they can find them still. They'll be out there in a full heater suit in the boat with their gloves on trying to catch a white bass.
All right, hang on. We'll be right back. More SC Wild on Sports Talk.
It's time to get wild with SC Wild. Everything hunting and fishing from the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources and your host, Phil Kornblut. SC Wild on Sports Talk on the South Carolina Radio Network.
And we're back, Sports Talk, South Carolina Radio Network. On a Wednesday night, SC Wild ongoing. Captain Billy Downer is with us. 800-956-7266 is the number. Call lines are open for you if you want to join us. Let's go to Seth in Edgefield's got a question for Captain Downer. Seth, welcome in.
Bill and Captain Downer, good evening. How are you?
Good. What's your question?
My question is how much or, if any, damage was done to the coastal WMA waterfowl impoundments from the hurricane?
That's a good question. You know, last year we got hit by Hurricane Matthew, and we had some significant damage in a couple of dikes. Some of those damaged areas are still being or trying to be repaired. In any situation, we're waiting on folks that can do that kind of work. I know that some contracts have been awarded, and some of that damage has not been fixed yet. And anytime on the coast, we talked about this last year, there's damage on a dike where there's a tide going in and out. Anytime that hole is still there, there's always damage occurring as the tide goes in and out. I know that we had, you know, Hurricane Irma, some influx of water there. Not sure that it caused any more damage than we already had. Certainly there was some damage there, but I do know this. Our wildlife folks are on top of that. They are doing everything they can to preserve those waterfowl impoundments, because as we all know, those are key to our waterfowl season on the coast. So that's a good question. We are keeping an eye on that. There are some holes that are still waiting to be filled in. It takes a lot of work with some very specialized equipment. And we've got those. I know those contracts in some cases have been awarded, so they're working on that now. A great question.
And the thing is, I mean,
Mother Nature is a beast. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, you can work, get it rebuilt, be good for a couple of 2-3 years. Here comes another big storm.
That's right.
I mean, you can't stop it from being washed away again.
That's right. Yeah. So we're working on that, and it's important to keep up with these dikes, because those waterfowl impoundments are important to our wintering waterfowl when they come down here. So very important to the DNR as well. Let's talk about deer racks for a minute.
Yeah, what'd you bring us here?
I've got a very nice specimen here.
Yeah.
You can see this on sportstalksc.com.
On radio, you can't see this.
But on our video webcast, they can see it.
Yeah, put it up there.
We've got a nice right here. This is going to be, you're going to count this, Phil, okay? You count with me.
Okay. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine.
9 point. Nice 9 point.
Why is it not an even number?
It's a mainframe eight.
Why is it not an even number?
Because Mother Nature made him that way. God made him that way, Phil.
Well, he left off a point.
Oh, he's got 9 points.
He missed the point.
Nice deer taken by a young man in Clarendon County. A little shout out here to Clayton Lee.
Let me ask you a question
age
real quick.
13. Phil, this is important.
Okay.
Age 13.
Uh-huh.
Age 13. Took this nice deer. This is nicer than most men will see in their lifetime sometimes.
That is impressive. What makes the rack?
What makes the rack?
Yeah. I mean, what in the deer grows the right? What is that
this
made of?
This is bone. It's bone.
It's bone.
Yeah. It's bone. But okay. It falls off at the end of, in January, February, it will fall off.
Okay.
Unlike horns, which are like your fingernails.
Okay.
On a bull or something that has horns all the time. Deer grows their rack every year and drops it off. And they grow bigger each and every year until the point where they get old enough that they lose that.
I would have thought that horns would be more durable instead of antlers.
Well, and of course, these are used for defending their territory.
Yes.
For fighting off other bucks.
Yeah.
So this is a very nice rack. Most sportsmen, when it gets into deer hunting, they want to kill a deer or take a deer with a nice rack, mm-hmm. with a nice set of antlers. And so they want to know what their buck's antlers score. Sometimes it just goes south in the conversation.
You know, it's the producers. Producers always make
The guy behind you.
Brian's back there. He's about to fall over. You know, he's his mind. Who knows where his mind is? But yeah, go ahead.
I know where his mind is.
We're talking deer rack here.
The deer antler scoring system, which is known as the Boone and Crockett system.
Yes. Okay.
Boone and Crockett system basically set up a set of rules from Boone and Crockett Club to score antlers. And it has to do with a lot of factors. Width, how far between the spread, minimum spread between inside spread on your deer antlers, as well as your length of tines. You see these tines here, the length of tines going out from your what you call your G1 or your brow tines to your G2s. G2s are typically your tallest tine. That's that first one out, and you see how tall and predominant it is.
Yes.
The length of these is how you score. So every inch matters. It's scored in inches. You total all these things up. You've got nice brow tines. Height on brow tines matters. The circumference around the bases, the measurements in here, the minimum circumference between each point becomes a measurement. All these things add up to inches, basically. And to make the South Carolina State record book, you need to score a 125.
So how much is the one in your hand?
Inches. The one I'm holding here, which is a very impressive deer. This was a 4.5-year-old deer. A good example of a 4.5-year-old deer. Yet his gross score, gross being total points when you add everything up, you have to add all these points up, was around one, right at 121 and 7/8. But he had deductions based on differences. Any difference in the rack between this point to this point. See how tall G3 is very short, inch and a half. This one's.
Why has one grown longer than the other? Just the way it is.
It could be the way it is. It could be that during the time when he was growing this antler, when it was in velvet, he may have damaged it. He may have hit it on a limb, bruised it, something. A lot of times you'll see them broke off. They'll break those when they're soft and they're growing.
So a lot of this stuff is beyond your control.
It could be. It could be damage to the left side of his body. A lot of times you'll see deer, the left side, they've been injured. The right side antler
doesn't grow as much.
We'll have a problem.
Gotcha.
Or be short. It's just interesting how it all ends out. But when it comes to deer scoring, everybody wants to know that big, they want to have those that big antler spread. They want to see long tines. But the thing that makes the points for you is your circumference. The mass of an antler is important. Of course, if you get a 10 point, that's more points that you can score.
Sure.
This is an 8 point. He's got 1 point very short. But this right here that Clayton got, very nice deer, 121 and 7/8 gross, but with deductions went down to 114.
So he did not make the cut.
It would not make the state book. Yeah. It's still a very impressive deer.
Sure.
What I can tell you is every year at the Classic in Columbia, we have our biologists, technicians are out there and they score. They are Boone and Crockett certified. They're scoring antlers. Guys are bringing in antler sheds, are bringing in their mounted deer to get the antler scored. And you see some really impressive deer that don't make the book. This is an impressive deer. This is a quality deer. This young man did a very, you know, he took a deer that he should be very proud of. Again, a lot of hunters don't see a deer this big in their lifetime.
Probably should say was a quality deer.
Still is a quality deer.
Can you yourself score or no?
I can score. I am not an official
scorer. I just got to say,
but Captain, I have helped out a lot.
That
so
is,
I know the best.
That is some rack you got there, my man. Some rack. You want to give us the safety thought of the day?
The safety tip for today. Remember, when you're leaving the deer stand, use a flashlight. Don't walk out in the dark too many times. Other hunters sitting will confuse or they see movement. They make a mistake. Use a flashlight. Let people know exactly who you are. It's your flashlight walking. That's not a deer.
Have we been pretty safe so far this year in the state?
We've had some accidents, had some tree stand falls this past weekend.
Ooh.
Remember, tree stands are one of our biggest accidents when deer hunting because people will like to hunt from elevated positions.
I feel like I learned something this week.
That's very educational.
I was very, very enriched.
Well, and this guy right here is really into racks, so I think you probably caught his interest.
Absolutely.
Deer racks we're talking about, of course.
Again, another shout-out. Clayton Lee, good job. Nice deer.
Nice job.
I liked it. I like the rack.
You're back next week.
We are.
Yes.
Two in a row.
Can't wait.
Love it.
Be back next week. Thank you, Captain. Great job as always.
Hopefully we'll talk about something besides.
I want you to go into oyster harvesting on one of these. You do that?
We can do that. We can do that.
Ain't nothing this man can't go into.
I love oysters.
Thank you, Brian. Great job. Thank you, Willie P. Thank you, Captain. Have a great night, everybody. Back at you tomorrow night right here on Sports Talk for SC Wild. We'll see you then.